All right, Shabbos, say good morning, good morning, good morning. What a schus. What an incredible schus to be able to begin. Maseches Moed Katan. Let us begin by thanking our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat. Mrs. Bracha Strimber for dedicating all the Shurim and Drashos in memory of her husband, Avram ben Kalman Eliezer Halevi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family a Nechama. We thank Avi Tobias for dedicating all of his Shurim and Drashos this month in appreciation of Dafyomi and appreciation of the Shir. We thank our Dafyomi sponsors for today, Brian and Karen Gold, in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Brian's father, Shabtai Rafael ben Avram, Zichrono Livracha. We thank Natan and Leah Berry for dedicating the shir today in commemoration of the 50th yahrzeit of Natan's grandfather, Morris Coppersmith, Moshe ben Yehuda, Zichrono Livracha. And we dedicate the shir today in the Zechus of Refuah Shlema for Hannah Mindel, Bas Sora Zeldaleah, who's having a complicated surgery today. We hope that in Yirtzeh Hashem, she has a refuah together with Kol Cholei Yisrael. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas have an aliyah, and all the cholim who require a refuah should have one bekarov. But let's say with that, let us begin. We have just a dramatically beautiful and exceptional schus today to begin. Meseches Moed Katan. But let's say another beautiful, beautiful journey. So let's begin. But let's say, so the Mishnah, so just by way of introduction, just two very quick points of introduction. Meseches Moed Katan, the beginning of the Meseches, is going to deal with the halachos concerning chalamayit. Right? So chalamayit is an interesting animal, right? Because remember, again, it's the intermediate days of Yom Tov, and there's a tug of war. You can feel it with the neshama of chalamayit, right? Is chalamayit, is it Yom Tov or is it chol? And the answer is yes, right? The answer is yes. The answer is that really, in its essence, chalamayit is really Yom Tov. That's the real truth. It's really Yom Tov. But what we're going to see is that many things are permitted over the course of this day or over the course of these days, for a variety of different reasons. But again, what is clear is, chalamayit, you can't just do whatever you want. There are absolute restrictions on chalamayit. The major things we're going to see in this Mishnah is, you are permitted on chalamayit to do malacha for the sake of what we call a davar ha'avud. If you're going to experience a loss, right? You're going to experience a loss, so you're permitted to go ahead and do malacha on chalamayit in order to prevent that loss. The caveat on that, right? The cap on that is, the cap on that is going to be tircha yisera. In other words, whereas I am allowed to go ahead and do malacha for the sake of saving myself from a loss, if that malacha entails an incredible amount of work, an incredible amount of tircha, that I'm not allowed to do. So with that, let us begin. Mashkin beis hashalchan b'moed. So we're also going to see there are two different types of fields. There's what's called the beis hashalchan, the beis habal. Beis hashalchan is a field that is watered through irrigation versus Beis Habal, which is a field that is watered through rainwater, naturally sustained. So the Mishnah says, you are permitted to go ahead and water a Beis HaShalchin on Chalamayit and on Shemitah. Incredible. Shabbos, say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Mashkin Beis HaShalchin, Sadeshu Omedes Bahar. So this is a field that sits on a mountain. Now, by the way, the topography is not really the important part over here, right? It could be on a mountain, it could be anywhere. The point over here is, V'tzorich Lashkosa Tamid B'tamid. You have to irrigate it. The only way this field survives is through irrigation. And therefore, again, Mashkin Osafilo B'chalo Shamoid. You're permitted to go ahead and water it, right? Water it even on Chalamayit. Why? Lefi shehu lo hefsid gadol im eina mashko. So we'll say third line in Rashi. Because it'll be a loss. Because you will suffer a loss if you do not go ahead and water the field. The davar shall hefsid hetiru chachamim l'troach ba b'cholos shemayit. We'll say, here it is. Here it is. This is an incredibly important Rashi. And whenever it comes to a davar ha'avit, a loss, Chazal allowed you to go ahead and do malacha on chalamayit. Kimo shematzino meseches chagiga, tichsiv, sheshes yomim tocha matzos, ubiyom ha-shvi atzeres la-Hashem alokecha. Okay, so we'll say, so here Rashi goes through the limud, which we will come to in Yirtzeh Hashem. Point over here that I want you to get is there's a principle. Principle number one is, you don't do malacha, really you don't do malacha on chalamayit. But principle number two, if there's a davar ha-avud, you are going to suffer a loss, you are permitted to go ahead and do malacha. So the first loss that we are encountering when it comes to Meseches Moed Katan is if you don't water an irrigated field, the field will be lost. The produce will be lost. Therefore, you're permitted to go ahead and water it on Chalamay. Now, we'll say, the Mishnah throws in here Shemitah also. So if we have time today, we'll get into Shemitah by the end of, it's really the end of Beis Hamidbeis. Hopefully we'll get to it. So again, now let's go back to the Mishnah. Now we'll say, first part is you're allowed to water the field. Second part, Bein Mimayon Sheyotza Betchila, Bein Mimayon Shelo Yotza Betchila. So we'll say this is very interesting. Whether it's from a spring, Sheyotza Betchila. We'll say Yotza Betchila, we're going to see, means a brand new spring. Right? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Mimayon Sheyotza Betchila, Da'achshav Maschil Linvo, Ashadayin Lo Echzika Darka. So we'll say you could water the field from a brand new spring that's called a Mayon Sheyotza Betchila that just began to put forth water, or Bein Mimayon Shelo Yotza Betchila, which means an established spring. Now we'll say, what's the difference between an old spring and a new spring? It's interesting enough, it's not the water flow. It's how solid the sides of the spring are. You see, with a new spring, there's a concern of wall collapse. The problem with wall collapse, what happens if, everybody knows, what happens if the walls of your spring collapse? What happens? You got to dig it out. You got to dig it out. So we're going to see in the Gemara is, you might have thought that on Chalamayid, you really could only use an established spring. Because an established spring, you know, the walls are solidified, you're good to go. New spring, there's a concern ultimately of collapse, and therefore, again, it may not work out as well. But nevertheless, the Mishnah says, since you're allowed to go ahead and water the field on Chalamayid, right, this is an irrigated field, you're also allowed to go ahead and use either a new spring or an older spring. So it says the Gemara, Aval in Mashkin lo mimei gishamim. What can't you use? You can't use a pool of rainwater. Now again, Rashi says, why can't you use a pool of rainwater? Because there's tircha yisera, too much effort. Now we'll discuss what that means, right? Why is there too much effort with rainwater? Well, we'll discuss. So ultimately, again, you can't use rainwater. For lo mimei akilon, interesting enough, You can't use a well, right? So let's say, so again, the idea over here is, which makes sense, because what's going to happen if you water a field from a well? What's going to happen? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, right? Can you imagine watering an entire field from a well? That's a whole day's worth of work. Also called tircha yisira. Okay, we'll go through all of these cases. Ve'in osin ugios legifanim. You also can't make ugios, not cookies, right? So we'll say, right, ugios, interestingly enough, we're going to see means little pools. We'll say, so interestingly enough, what if you had vines, what you would want to do is you want the water to pool around the vines. So what they would do is you just kind of take your heel or whatever, you take an instrument and you make just a furrow around the vine. Those are called ugios for gifanim. Again, we'll discuss, you can't do that. Good. Rabbi Lazar, we'll discuss all of this. Why? Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah Omer, Ein osin es ha'ama betchila b'moido b'shvias. Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says you also can't make a channel, right? You can't make a channel for water to flow on Chalamayit or on Shemitah. Because again, apparently Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah will say that constitutes tircha yisera. That is going to look like effort. V'cham v'cham say, Osin asa'ama betchila b'shvias. No, so Chum disagree. They say you are allowed to go ahead and make a channel on Shemitah. Now, if you notice, we'll say, they don't say you're allowed to make a channel when? On Chalamayit. Again, we'll say, you know what's exciting about learning Mishnah is like you already, we can anticipate all of the questions that are going to come up. So it's very exciting to kind of see the coming attractions, and Amir HaShem will get to it all. Umetaknin es hamikulkalos b'moid. Now, we'll say, interestingly enough, if you have a channel, or for that matter, again, a water cistern, we'll call the channels right now. If you have a channel that became a bit ruined, so you could fix that on Chalamayit. So what the Chum are saying is like this. You could make a channel l'chatchila on Shemitah, but you can't make a new channel on Chalamayit. But if you have a channel that got a little bit eroded over Chalamayit, that you're permitted to fix. Umetaknin es kilkuli hamayim shebishos harabim. Furthermore, again, Rabbi said, this is an incredible halacha. If you have public water cisterns, and let's say again, Rabbi, what would often happen by public water cisterns is you could have debris that falls into the cistern. You're allowed to clean that out on Chalamayit. V'chotetin also. Again, you could dredge it, right? You can go ahead and pull out any debris. Umetaknin es hadrachim. You could fix the roads. Ves harachovos, the streets, ves mikvos hamayim, and mikvos, The osin kol tzarchei rabim. So we'll say a very important halacha. This is now coming into something different. What this is telling us now is, by the way, the halachos concerning limitations on malacha, on chalamayid, were really stated in the context of individual needs. But whatever is needed for the rabbim, whatever is needed for the collective, you're allowed to go ahead and do on chalamayid. See, these are all examples of things that are necessary for the rabbim. Cleaning out the water cisterns, cleaning out the mikvos, anything that's tzarchei rabbim, umitzainin es hakvaros. Very interesting. You're allowed to go ahead and demarcate or paint graves. Well, so we've spoken about this before. Remember again, there was an obligation to go ahead and make sure that people know where graves are in order that kohanim could avoid ritual impurity. So you're allowed to go ahead. So far, so they would often paint over graves with plaster. With plaster, right? So therefore, again, in order to show the Kohanim where the graves are, you're allowed to do that on Chalamayid. V'yotzin af alakilayim. And Abbas is actually very interesting. And by the way, if you look at Tosus, Tosus says over here, umitzainin, why are you allowed to go ahead and paint graves? So Tosus says, deleka tircha. Tosus says, because again, there's no real tircha involved in the painting of graves, right? There's no, but and it's a significant public service. And lastly, I will say the Mishnah says v'yotzin af alakilayim. And halacha lemaisa, you could also go out. We saw this in Megillah. This was just quoted in Megillah. It's actually quoted from Maseches Shkalim. That halacha lemaisa, you could send out emissaries of Beis Din to go out and to inspect and to potentially uproot any kilayim, any forbidden mixtures that they see maybe growing in the fields. So Rabbi Abbas, for our purposes for today's daf, the takeaway from this Mishnah is you're allowed to do malach and chalamayid. If what? If what? Davar ha'avad. If you're going to suffer a loss. Right? The only cap on that is tircha yisera. If the work is going to be too much, quote unquote, too much effort, then even if it's to stave off a loss, you're still not allowed to do it. And the paradigmatic example in the eyes of Chazal, of some, or in the eyes of the Mishnah, that is going to be a davar ha'avad is what? What we call Beis HaShalchan, an irrigated field. If you do not water an irrigated field on Chalamayid, you are going to suffer a loss. Good. So we'll say, let's analyze. Says the Gemara. It's great. Says the Gemara. Hashta yishlomer mimayin shiyatza b'tchila. So we'll say, so remember again, let me say this outside, then we'll see it inside. Remember, so the Mishnah said, you're allowed to go ahead, therefore, and water an irrigated field on Chalamayid. And the Mishnah said, you could go ahead and irrigate it from a new spring, right? Mimayon sheyotza betchila. You could go ahead and irrigate it from a new spring and from an old spring. So the Gemara is bothered by this. Hashti yeshlomar mimayon sheyotza betchila. The asilin puli. Mashkin, mashkin. So we'll say, the Gemara says like this. If you're telling me that you can water the field on Chalamayid from a brand new spring, that was what we said before. What's the concern with a brand new spring? The Gemara over here says that the asilin puli. Asilin puli means what? The walls could collapse. Look at Rashi. Asilin pule hakarka shesviva da dain loech zika darka. Remember again, when the spring is new and before really it's flowing, the walls are not as solidified, and therefore there is a danger of collapse. There's a danger of collapse. So if you're telling me that halacha, and when I say danger of collapse, you understand that it's not a danger, but the idea is then if it would collapse, that's going to require a person to dig it out, which is a tircha yisera. See, if you're telling me that you could use a brand new spring to water your field, shelo yotza betchila delo asilin pule mebaye, do you have to go ahead and say that you could use an old spring? Oh, as we both say, it's obvious. If you could use a new spring where there's a danger of collapse and it could lead to tircha yisera, and that's mutter, certainly you could use an older established spring. So why does the Mishnah even have to say it? Amri, it's tirich. I'll tell you why it's necessary. Because if the Mishnah would have just said that you could use an old spring, hava amina hachahu de beis hashalchin in beis habal lo mishum de asilin pule. See, Rabbi, listen to this. If the Mishnah would have just said that halacha lemaisa, you could go ahead and use a new spring. I would have said that when can you use a new spring? Dafka over here in a beis hashalchan, in an irrigated field, right? But not in a beis habal, not in a field that is normally sustained by rain. Mishum dasin and pule, because you can't use a new spring. Why? Because the new spring may collapse. Ava mayin shelo yotza betchila, but perhaps an older established spring, I would have thought, delo asilin pule, there's no danger of collapse. Ema afilu beis habal nami. I would have thought Rabbi said that what? You could even water, right, what we'll call a rain-watered field with an established spring. In other words, Rabbi said, the Gemara is saying, had the Mishnah not said that you could water a beis hashalchan, an irrigated field, right? I'm just going to use the lashon now, beis hashalchan versus beis habal. Now you're going to remember this, beis hashalchan means a field that is taken care of through irrigation. Beis habal is a field that is cared for through rain. So the Gemara says like this, if the Mishnah would have just said you could water a beis hashalchin ultimately again through a brand new spring, and wouldn't have said an old spring. It would have relied on the fact that people will realize if you could use a new spring, you certainly could what? You certainly could what? Use an old spring. You would have thought like this. It's dafka in a beis hashalchin that ultimately again you could use both a new and an old spring. But maybe in a beis habal, right, it's true you can't use a new spring, but maybe you could use an old spring. And therefore the Gemara says, kamash malon, no. Kamash malon, lo shna mayin shiyata betchila, v'lo shna mayin shalo yata betchila, beis hashalchin in, beis habal lo. Therefore, we'll say the Mishnah comes to teach us, the only license to water a field on Cholamayit is what? Is what? Only a beis hashalchin, only an irrigated field, and not a beis habal at all. Whether it is through a new spring or an old spring, halacha lemaisa, you cannot water what we'll call a rain-watered field on Cholamayit at all. So we'll say, therefore, again, the Mishnah is essentially a bit more verbose than it had to be in order to avoid any potential misunderstandings. Halacha lemaisa, you're allowed to water a beis hashalchin on Cholamayit, because if you don't, you may suffer, all right, an irretrievable loss, and it'll be tzedavar ha'ovid, and you can water it through any kind of spring. Beautiful. Says the Gemara, Umay mashma, the high beis hashachan lishna detzach usahi. So I'll say, how do you know? So remember, we're using the term beis hashalchin to mean an irrigated field. So how do you know that a beis hashalchin means a lashon of being thirsty? Right, so we'll say an irrigated field is a thirsty field. What does that mean? Because it has no reliable independent source of water. It's thirsty. How do you know that shalchin means thirsty? Dechsev va'ato ayef viyageya. So this is actually pretty incredible. This is the parsha of Amalek in Devarim, right? The pasuk says, which is actually incredible because we'll say, remember, we also have parsha of Amalek in this week's parsha, and the parsha is B'shalach. Absolutely incredible. Erev Shabbos, parsha is B'shalach. We have Amalek here, Daf Beis, Amud Aleph, Moedka. We have B'shalach, not B'shalach, but Amalek. So remember again, the pasuk says, by Amalek they attacked us, and we were tired, right? We were tired. Umitar gaminon va'at mishalhi veloi. And ultimately, again, it says, and you were thirsty, right? Mishalhi and loi. And tired. So therefore, again, I will say, mishalhi, shalchin, hey, and ches. It actually says they're often interchangeable. And therefore, again, beis hashalchin means a thirsty field, which is a field which relies on irrigation in order to survive. Umay mashma, the high beis habal, lishna demiyas vusahi, and I know that beis habal means like a satisfied field, right? A sated field, because it gets everything that it needs from the rainwater. Dechsev, ki yival bachar besula. So we'll say the pasuk the Gemara is quoting over here is from Yeshayo, and the pasuk says kiyev al bachar besula. When a bachar, a young man, will live with a besula, a young woman, umetar gaminon, and we translate that as are kama demisosiv ulam im besulta yias visun begavech banayich. So we'll say ultimately we translate that the way that a young man lives with a besula. Ultimately, again, there's a satisfaction in that relationship. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells with Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi say, again, that's the same lashon of Baal. So lashon of Yival Baal is a lashon of being sated. So a beis habal, right? The beis habal is a field that ultimately is sated on its own, i.e. through rainwater. Beautiful. So Rabbi say, Saman Tana Dip Sede in Harvachalo. So Rabbi say, now the Gemara goes back and says, okay, so now I got it. The guiding light principle of our Mishnah, Bosai, is what? Is that halacha lemaisa, on Cholamayit, you're allowed to do malacha to save yourself from loss. Pseida. What can't you do? You can't engage in malacha for the sake of generating a profit. Okay, whose opinion is this? Whose opinion is this? So the Gemara says, whose opinion is this? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say? Here we go. Disnan. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Moshchin es hamayim mi'ilon le'ilon. You can go ahead and draw water from one tree to another tree. So Rabbi will say, if you could imagine for a moment, the way this works is like this. Imagine for a moment you have water pooling around tree A. So what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Pretty much all you need to do is kind of drag your heel between tree A and tree B, and hopefully gravity does the rest, right? So the water will flow from tree A to tree B. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you're allowed to do this. Now look at Rashi. Moshchin mayim mi'ilon le'ilon. It's almost right across in Rashi. So Rashi says, becholo shomoed im yesh mayim tachas ilon echod osin derech katan mi'ilon le'ilon kedei shiyimshichu hamayim mi'ilon zeh le'ilon acher. So we'll say, halacha l'maisa, halacha l'maisa, simply just drawing water. And Rashi says over here, all you're doing is going ahead and making a path from one tree to another. Obilvad shelo yashke es hasadeh kula. In order that, as long as what? As long as you don't start watering the entire field. Look at Rashi. Lo yashke es hasadeh kula bebeis habal kamayri darvachihi. Alma darvacha de milsa aser Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say, we must be talking about over here a beis habal, a field that is sustained by water. So where Rabbi Eliezer says, look, you can draw water from one tree to another because that's considered to be what? Staving off a loss. But what can't you do? You can't start watering the entire field where it's a field that's sustained by rain. Okay, so we'll say that seems to be pretty. This seems to be pretty explicit. So Emer de Shamis lay the Rabbi Eliezer harvacha delo. So we'll say, so fine. So now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, I got it. So now I see that you can't engage in activities which are designed to generate profit on Cholamayid. But tircha b'makom psida mishamis lay. So we'll say, remember, there's three principles that play over here. Principle number one is you can't engage in malacha for the sake of generating profit. Fine. Principle number two, you are permitted to go ahead and engage in malacha for the sake of what? For the sake of what? Staving off or preventing loss. But what's principle number three? Principle number three is even in the pursuit of staving off loss, what can't you do? Tircha yisera. So the Gemara says, where do you see that? Right? Tell me, now in the Mishnah we saw it, but where do you see that in the position of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? So Baba says, you're right. The Mishnah really reflects the view of Rabbi Huda. The Sanya, here we go. Mayon hayotze betchilo. If you have a brand new spring, mashkin mimenu afilu sada beis haval de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, that halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Meir holds, you're allowed to go ahead and water even a beis haval. Even a beis haval, even from a brand new spring. Even from a brand new spring. Okay. Rabbi Huda Omer, Ein mashkin ela sada beis hashalchin shecharva. Rabbi Huda says no. Even with a brand new spring, all you're allowed to water is what? A brand new beis. Excuse me, a beis hashalchin, an irrigated field shecharva. Now we'll say, what does shecharva mean? Shecharva means it's been destroyed. Now we're gonna discuss what does that mean. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer lokach velokach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says no. I don't agree with either of these opinions. Yasser al Kain. Well, again, we'll define all of this. Yasser al Kain. Am Rabbi Huda lo yifne adam amas hamayim v'yashke leginas l'rchavaso b'chalosh hamoed. Furthermore, Rabbi Huda says, you should not redirect your channel of water on Chol HaMoed in order to go ahead and water your garden or your churva, your ruin. So we'll say, let's go back for a second. Right? What was Rabbi Huda's sheet? Rabbi Huda said, Rabbi Huda says two things. Well, really one thing. He says that the only thing you're allowed to use a new spring for is what? Is to go ahead and water your Beis HaShalchin Shecharva. That was destroyed. So the Gemara says, what does that mean, charva? Right? The Gemara says, my charva. Ile ma charva mamish. If you say that the field has mamish been destroyed, so lamali lamashki. Then Rabbi says, if the field's been destroyed, then what? Then what? Why are you watering it? Right? That's it. We're done. So Rabbaye, shecharva mimayon zeh, v'yotzala mimayon acher. Now, what's the case? So this case is like this. You have an irrigated field, the Beis HaShalchin, and you had a spring. You had a spring, a good, right? Mayan shelo yotze betchila, an older established spring. that spring collapsed, and now there is a new spring. Rabbi Huda says, you are allowed to go ahead and water the irrigated field from a new spring. From a new spring. So the Gemara says, That was Rabbi Huda. And Rabbi Loza ben Azari argued, he said, Lokach velokach, meaning what? Loshna charbi mayana, veloshna lo charbi mayana. Rabbi Loza ben Azari says, I don't care if the spring was destroyed, not destroyed. Rather again, he says, Mayan sheyotza betchila lo. Now we'll say, Rabbi Loza ben Azari argues on Rabbi Huda. See, Rabbi Huda allows you to use a brand new spring for an irrigated field. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, no, you are not allowed to go ahead and use a brand new spring. Then I both say, now ultimately, again, why would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah be reticent to allow you to use a brand new spring? Why would he say you can't use it? What is he concerned about? Collapse, right? And therefore, again, tircha yisera. Now both say, the point over here is, remember, let's keep our eye on the ball. What are we trying to figure out? We're just trying to figure out whose opinion is echoed in the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah gave me a principle, right? Three principles, really 2.5 principles, right? Number one, you can't engage in malacha for the sake of turning a profit, right? That's number one. Fine, that's easy. Number two, you are allowed to go ahead and engage in malacha for the sake of hefsid, for the sake of saving a loss, preventing a loss. But again, the qualification in that is you can't engage in tircha yisera, excessive labor, for the sake of serving a loss. So we're just trying to figure out whose opinion is this. Rabbi says, it seems like the Gemara is saying over here, it's Rabbi Huda. It's Rabbi Huda. Because what did Rabbi Huda just say in this braisa? Rabbi Huda said, you are allowed to go ahead and water a beis hashalchin. You could water an irrigated field, and his chiddush was what? Even from what? A brand new spring. Beautiful. Seems to really echo the Mishnah. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe not. Mimai. Dilma ad kalokam Rabbi Huda. Beis hashalchin in beis habalo. Ela mayin sheyatza betchila. So Rabbi will say, ultimately again, maybe Rabbi Huda is saying like this. When do we allow you to water a beis hashalchin, but not a beis habal? That's only with a brand new spring. In other words, a brand new spring could be used in a beis hashalchin, not a beis habal. However, right, the Gemara says, Dilma on the beis, Dilma, Asile in Pule. Because we both say, again, the general, like we keep saying, the general concern with a brand new spring is a fear of collapse. So Rabbi said, but yet Rabbi Huda is going to say, even though there's a fear of collapse, you can use a brand new spring in a beis hashalchin, in a field that is watered by irrigation. Now, why can you use a brand new spring in a beis hashalchin? Why, Rabbi say, why? Why?
Loss.
Loss. That's it. However, abam mayon shalo yotze betchila, delo asilin pule. But maybe Rabbi Huda holds like this, that an old spring, an established spring, where there is no danger of collapse, and therefore no danger of tircha, afilu beis habal nami. Maybe Rabbi Huda would allow you to go ahead and use an older spring, even in a beis habal. In other words, you could infer that from Rabbi Huda's words, that could indeed be his position. So maybe in Rabbi Huda's view, there is even a way to water a beis habal, right, a non-irrigated field, a field that is sustained by rainwater, as long as halacha lamaisu, you use an old spring and not a new spring. Now, Bosai, if that indeed would be Rabbi Huda's position, it would put us at what? It would not allow us to say that he is the author of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is quite unequivocal in telling us you could only water a beis hashalchin and not a beis habal. To which the Gemara says, Im kein masnisin aman tarmiya. Now, Bosai, it says the Gemara, if that's true, then whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Ella, the Rabbi Huda loshna mayin shiyatza betchila, veloshna mayin shalo yatza betchila. So Rabbi said, Rabbi, you have to say like this. According to Rabbi Huda, Rabbi was saying, whether it's a new spring or an old spring, the halacha is as follows. Beis hashalchin in, beis habal lo. Rabbi was saying, bottom line, the Gemara is saying, you must see the position of Rabbi Huda is as follows. Whether you're using a new spring or an old spring, the only field you're ever allowed to water on Chalamayid is what kind of field? A beis hashalchin, an irrigated field. That's it. A beis habal, there is no circumstance under which you are permitted to go ahead and water a beis habal. So I'll say, let's just work this through. Why can you never water a beis habal? I'll say, why not? Because the watering of a beis habal is what? It's not tircha. Right? It's what's what? It's turning a profit. Rosa, remember again, let's be clear on this. The whole heter for malacha is only when? Only when. Now, listen, I want to be clear. There are going to be other cases in chalamai where you're allowed to do malacha. For our purposes today, the only heter you have for malacha is when? Davra avid, pseida, loss. The only field that experiences a loss, if you don't actively involve yourself in it, is what? A beis hashalchem, because it needs irrigation. Irrigation means the only way it's getting water is if I do something. A beis habal is the type of field that we'll call it, for our purposes today, self-sustaining. Right? Why is it self-sustaining? Because it relies on rain. And it gets enough rain. It gets enough rain. So even if I don't water it, it's taken care of. Okay, weeds may grow, this may grow. Lemaisa, if I don't touch the base habal for chalamayit, is it going to be okay?
Yes.
Absolutely. So therefore, I will say, that's what's happening over here. So therefore, again, remember, the entry, right, the gateway to do malacha and chalamayit is, you have to prove a loss. So therefore, again, Abbas said, the only field that gets out of the gate, or gets into the gate, is the Beis HaShalchim. The Beis Habal is never a problem. The problem I can run to with the Beis Habal is, I like to make money, right? Who doesn't? So therefore, again, I'd like to turn profit. Okay, turning profit, that's something different. That you can't do on Chalamayit. So therefore, Abbas said, the Gemara is suggesting over here that the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is as follows. Halacha Lemaisa, when it comes to a Beis HaShalchim, you could water it on Chalamayit, because if you don't, you're going to suffer a loss, right? You can never water a base habal on chalamayit. Why not? Why not? Because the only reason to water a base habal is, right? Because ultimately, again, you want to turn profit. Okay, that's not a heter for malacha on chalamayit. And therefore, again, Abba said, and Rabbi Yehuda says, by the way, and once you're permitted to water a base hashalchin, what can you water your base hashalchin with? What can you water it with? Right? We'll call it for now whatever you want. Now, that's not true, totally a true statement, but it means either kind of spring, either a new spring or an old spring. Beautiful. I both say, that's it. That's it. So it says the Gemara, I v'hai diktani. So I say, here's the only problem we have to resolve. See, in the Braisa, ultimately, again, Rabbi Huda said that you could water a Beis HaShalchin with a new spring. So why did he dafka say a new spring, not an old spring? V'hai diktani mayan shiyatza betchila. And the reason he ultimately said he chose the case of a brand new spring, l'ho di'acha, Kochod Rabbi Meir. It will say to teach us the power of the position of Rabbi Meir. Dafilu mayne yotzi b'tchila mashkin afilu mashkin mena afilu sedei abal. It will say there is an opinion of Rabbi Meir. It will say Rabbi Meir blows our mind, right? Because what does Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir says, by the way, you're allowed to water a beis habal. You're allowed to water a beis habal on chalamayit. Not only that, you can even water a beis habal with what? With a brand new spring. Now, I'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. Now, we've absolutely no idea why Rabbi Meir holds that way, right? We're going to discover that. So the point over here is, right? Rabbi Meir's position is, you could even go ahead and water a base habal. Again, I'll say, why am I watering a base habal in Chalamayit? Why? Profit. I could even do that, even with what? A brand new spring, even though there's what? With a brand new spring, what is there? Danger of collapse, tircha yisera. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. The most you could use a brand new spring for is a beis hashalchin. So because Rabbi Yehuda is just trying to speak the same language of Rabbi Meir, that's why Dafka illustrates his halacha with a brand new spring. But in reality, the shita of Rabbi Yehuda is the shita espoused in the Mishnah. Rabbi says, so again, we come to a conclusion on this. The author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and the position espoused by the Mishnah is, on chalamayit, you're allowed to do malacha in order to stave off a loss. Therefore, you're allowed to go ahead and water an irrigated field on chalamayit, because that prevents loss. What kind of spring can you use to irrigate that field? New spring or old spring? I should say old spring or new spring. Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, you can take a breath. Good, let's go back to Itmar. HaMenachish v'amashkim ayim lizram b'shabes. So what's an interesting case? If one goes ahead, menachish is removing of weeds. Mashke means watering the field. So a person goes ahead, or I should say, mashkim ayim lizram. If a person goes ahead and removes weeds from a field, or waters seeds in a field on Shabbos, mishum mayim masturbe. So also, let's say we see a person about to do this malacha. Remember, in order for a person to be chayav on Shabbos, you have to give hasra. Hasra has to be malacha specific. In other words, if you see someone, let's say, let's choose an easy example. You see someone about to shecht an animal, right? Shecht an animal. So if you say to him, hey, Reuven, you know, it's asr to do malacha on Shabbos. and he shechs the animal, that's not proper hasra. In order to give proper hasra, a warning, you have to say what? Hey, Reuven, shechita is one of the 39 malachas, and it's asra on Shabbos. You have to give malacha-specific hasra. So let's say you see someone pulling out weeds or someone watering seeds on Shabbos. Mishum, my master in bay, what do we give them hasra, right? What's the hasra for? What's the malacha they're doing? Look at Rashi. Mishum, my master in bay, de my malacha kachashina le devadai kotzer lo chashina sherose. So here's the shayla. So the shayla is over here, what malacha is weeding and watering seeds? So we'll say, this is incredible. Rabba Omer, Mishum Choresh. Rabba says it's plowing. Wow, it's plowing. So we'll say, so now listen to this. So Rabba says it's plowing. We'll define it. Rabba says it's plowing. Rav Yosef Mishum Zorea. So Rav Yosef says, no, it's seeding. It's seeding, right? It's seeding. Omer Rabba, Kavasi Didi Mistabra. Rabbi says, I think I'm right. Rabbi will say, that's not a chiddush, right? Most people think they're right. Hey, so kavasi didi mistabra, right? I think I'm right. Ma darko shel choresh l'rapuye ara. So Rabbi will say, what's the point of plowing? Rabbi will say, what do you do when you plow? What's the point of plowing? You loosen the soil. So hai nami mirapuye ara. So Rabbi says this, when you pull out weeds, it's very interesting. You see, it's interesting. Rabbi will say, when you pull out weeds, what are you doing? Right, for me, right, everybody does weeding, right? I mean, I know people who do weeding, right? So ultimately, again, so what happens? You pull out the weeds and the soil, right, the soil loosens. When you water the soil loosens. So that's charisha, that's choresh, that's plowing. Rabbi Yosef Kavasi, the Mr. Rabbi says, no, I'm right, why? Rabbi will say, when you go ahead and you plant seeds, why are you planting seeds? For things to grow. So Shabbos said the act of removing weeds allows for things to grow. The act of watering seeds allows for things to grow. Shabbos said, fascinating machlokes, if you pull out weeds or you water seeds, what malacha is it? So Rabbah's going to say it's choresh, it's plowing, because in both of these cases you're loosening the soil. And Rav Yosef says it's seeding. Because what's the point of seeding? To grow produce, or to grow fruit. When you remove weeds, you water seeds, you're allowing for produce to grow. Incredible. So Amar Abaye the Rabbah. Sabai said to Rabba, Lididach Kash, Rabbi Yosef Kasha. Abaye says, listen, I think that there's a problem with both of you guys, right? There's a problem with both of your positions. How so? The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, Lididach Kasha. So this is Abaye now talking to Rabba. According to you, Rabba, you said it's Choresh. Lididach Kasha, Mishum Choresh in Mishum Zorea Lo. In other words, Rabba, why is it only Choresh? In other words, it's true, I understand your position of Choresh, you're softening up the soil, but how could you deny the fact that it's also Zorea? Right? Zorea is any malacha, is a malacha that allows for the growth of produce. Well, removal of weeds, watering of seeds, also allows for the growth of produce. Rav Yosef Kasha, Rav Yosef is also going to be a Kasha, why? Mishum, because Rav Yosef says it's Zorea. Right? Rav Yosef says that ultimately, again, it's seeding. Because at the end, what's the point of Zorea? To allow for produce to grow. And removal of weeds and watering of seeds allows for produce to grow. That's true. But Mishum Choresh Lo, isn't it also plowing? In other words, we'll say, Abaye is essentially saying to both of them, you're both right, but you can only both be right together. We'll say, what a profound you sowed. You're both right, but you can only be right together. So true. V'chi teimo, kol hecha di'ikatar tilo mechayiv elachado. Well, maybe you'll say, one second. Well, even if it's two malachas, right? So Abaye wants to essentially posit, you're both right. If you go ahead and you weed and you water seeds, maybe it's both choresh and zorea. Maybe it's both. Maybe it's both. Well, maybe you'll say, anytime you do two malachas, you can only be chayiv once. Well, that's not true. Or for one, vam rafkana, zomer. We'll say, watch this, zomer, pruning. We'll say, what's pruning? That's the act of removing branches from a tree, right? If you prune, v'tzarech le'etzim, and you need the branches that you're pruning. I was about to say, let's say I'm pruning and I need the branches for firewood. What's the halacha? Chayiv shtayim. You're chayiv for two malachas. What are the two malachas? Achas mishum notea. I was say, this is fascinating. One because of planting. I was say, how are you chayiv planting? Because I was say, why do you prune a tree? Why do you prune a tree? So it could grow. So therefore, again, the act of pruning, which enables the tree to grow, is actually an act of planting. Incredible. V'chad mishum, v'achas mishum, kotzer. And you're also chai because of ktsira. What's ktsira? Oker davar mimakom gidula. When you uproot an item from the place where it grows, that's called ktsira. So therefore, again, I will say the act of lopping off the branches, you're removing something from a place where it grows, that's kotzer. But because you're doing this in order to enable the tree to grow more, that's also what? That's also notea, planting. You're supposed to say, what do you see from here? What do you see from here? That one act could generate simultaneous liability for two malachas. So therefore, we'll say, Abaye is saying good. Rabbi, you're right, but only with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, you're right, but only with Rabbi. To which the Gemara says, Kasha. It's a good Kasha. Right? It's a good Kasha. Abaye is saying good. I'm not sure. Not sure why again, Rabbi and Rav Yosef can't be right together. Rav Yosef, again, the Musar Haskil is so profound. Sometimes the only time we're really only right is when we're right together. Is when we're able to accept other opinions and able to inculcate other opinions within ourselves and able to accept other points of view. It's only when we're right together that we're ultimately right. Esvei, Rav Yosef, L'Rabba. Shabbos say, this is a great, oh my gosh, it's so good. Listen to this. Say, Esvei, Rav Yosef, L'Rabba. Listen to this. HaMenachesh, V'Mechapel, L'Kilayim Loke. Shabbos say, now watch this case. So Menachesh once again is weeding. So we'll say, here's the case. The case over here is you have forbidden mixtures growing in your field. Let's take an easy case. You have wheat and grapes growing together. Paradigmatic case of kilayim, right? Wheat and grapes growing together. So now what happens? So you have a field of kilayim. So the Gemara says, Hamenachesh, if you go ahead and you weed, or mechapeh, Rashi says, Shemechasa es has, I take that back. You have these items now growing together in your field. They're not yet fully grown, right? So now we'll say, what happens? So you have wheat and you have grapes. And now let's say you pull out weeds from that field, or you cover the seeds, the grape seeds, the wheat seeds, with soil, right? And now again, now it's kilayim. Now we'll say you have kilayim growing in your field, loke, you get malchus. You get malchus, right? Rashi says, Mishol no sizra kilayim, because now you've effectively planted kilayim, right? You've planted kilayim. So again, now I have wheat seeds, I have grain seeds, they're growing together, I pull out weeds, or I go ahead and cover it with soil, I'm chayiv because of kilayim. Rabbi Yosef, listen to this. Rabbi Akiva Omer, af hamekayim. So Rabbi Akiva says, listen to this incredible yisod. Sheroa kilayim zarua ve'ino mevaklo. Rabbi Akiva says, if you see kilayim planted in your field, Rabbi say, let's say I didn't plant it, but I see it planted, it's there. Either someone else planted it, or ultimately, again, the seeds just blew together and now planted together. If I see it growing in my field, and I don't do anything about it, ultimately, again, I am chayiv. I'm chayiv. Rabbi say, I just want to pause for a moment to tell you what an incredible Musar Haskel that is. You see, the first case in the Mishnah is, I'm actively involved, right? The seeds are there and I'm weeding or I'm pulling out, right? Or I'm covering the seeds with dirt. So the Gemara says, I'm chayiv for fostering the growth of kilayim. Rabbi Akiva says it's even more. Even if you didn't do any maisa, but you come to your field and you see that there's kilayim there, and you don't actively remove it, you're chayiv for sustaining kilayim. Which I will say, such an incredibly profound yisod. Because if there are things that are broken inside of us, which each of us have, we all have things that are broken, failure to remedy that which is broken, even if I'm not acting out on it, is an aveira. That in and of itself is wrong. Knowing that there are things in a state of disrepair, and being mekayeing them, sustaining them, not actively devising a plan or doing something to address it, creates personalistic culpability as well. See, I will say, sometimes we think that as long as I know it's broken, but I'm not acting out on it, right? I'm not doing anything. I'm keeping my behaviors in check. I haven't addressed the core issues, but I have addressed the behaviors. So ultimately, again, now I will say, that's an incredible start. But Rabbi Akiva says, that's not enough. If you're mekayim kilayim, if you know there's kilayim growing inside of you, you know there's kilayim growing in your field, you know that there's something wrong, there's something in a state of disrepair, even though you're not acting on it, but it's there, and you don't uproot it, that's a violation also. I will say, such an incredible yisod. Not enough just to prevent ourselves from acting out in the wrong way, that's an incredible accomplishment. But once I know that something is broken, once I know that something is in a state of disrepair, I have an absolute unequivocal obligation to actively address it. And if I don't address it, and I'm the kind that I allow it to sit there, there's liability and culpability for that. Thank you, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is always our Rabbi in everything in life. And kilayim in life is incredible. So says the Gemara, Bishlam alididi damina mishum zoreya. So we'll say, now watch this. Now remember again, this whole thing is a mesve, right? This is an esve. This is Rav Yosef raising a kashna bais. So remember again, Rav Yosef holds that in general, when you weed and when you cover and when you cover, when you remove weeds or when you cover seeds with dirt, you're chayiv because of zorea. Rabbi says, so Rav Yosef is raising this. He says, Bishol didi damina mishum zorea. So according to me, who says that removing of weeds or covering with dirt is zorea, is planting, or I should say seeding. So it makes sense that this is usur. Going ahead and weeding around kelayim or covering the seeds with dirt is usur because you're planting a forbidden mixture. But according to you, Rabbah, who holds that what? That halacha lemaisa, weeding or going ahead and covering seeds with dirt is choresh, is plowing. Charisha bekelayim mi asira. Rabbah says, is there an isur charisha by kelayim? Right, there's no isra. Right, there's no isra plowing by kelayim. Amarle mishum mekayim. To which Rabbah will respond. Ultimately, again, I hold that it's aser because of mekayim. Because ultimately, again, sustaining kelayim is going to be aser as well. I v'hamid diktani seifa. Rabbi Akiva omer afa mekayim. But yet the end of the brisa said, Rabbi Akiva said, even if you don't do anything, but you just allow the kelayim to exist, that's aser. Michlal de Tanakama lav mishum mekayim hu. Sounds like the Tanakama doesn't hold with mekayim, to which the Gemara says, no. Here's how you have to read the brisa. Kul Rabbi Akiva hu. Riki, excuse me. Really, the entire brisa reflects the view of Rabbi Akiva. Uma tam ka'amar, my tam hamenach ishamechabe bekelayim loke. Why is it? So this is Rabbah's interpretation. Why is it that if you go ahead and you weed, or you cover up the seeds of kelayim, that you get malchus mishum mekayim? Ultimately, it's because you are allowing for the maintenance of, or you're allowing for the existence of kelayim. Rabbi Akiva omer, afa mekayim. Rabbi Akiva holds that even halacha lemaisa, one who allows kelayim to exist, ultimately, again, it's going to be chayiv. And the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Akiva. So what's Rabbi Akiva's logic, right? Why does Rabbi Akiva, see, here's what's interesting. See, normally we assume that kelayim is a maisa. I'm not allowed to plant kelayim. And why is the maintenance of kelayim aser? To which the Gemara says, desanya, sadcha lo sizra kelayim. The pasuk says, you cannot sow kelayim in your field. Eini ela zorea. I only know that that's true. I can't plant the seeds of kelayim. Mekayim minayin. How do I know that you can't even sustain a field of kelayim? Tamu lomar, kelayim sadcha lo. So we'll say it's just a different place. You put the comma in a different place. Sadcha, excuse me, kelayim sadcha lo. Kelayim in your field, no. And we'll say, what does kelayim in your field, no, mean? Exactly what it sounds like. You just can't have kelayim in your field, right? Even if you're not planting it, allowing it to exist is going to be aser. So the Gemara says, Tanan mashkin beis hashachem b'moedo b'shvi'is. So we'll say, let's go back. So the Mishnah said, actually, we'll stop over here for today. We'll say, just coming attractions tomorrow, Mir, so we'll get a little bit more into the Shemitah sugyas. We'll say, welcome to Moed Katan. What a schus. What a schus to be learning these holy words, these holy pages, and Amirat Hashem. We'll say, by the way, I also want to tell you, again, because coming off of Tainis and Megillah, we're used to a lot of Agadata. There's a lot of beautiful Agadata and Moed Katan as well. Don't worry. There's beautiful Halacha, beautiful Ashkafa, beautiful Agadata. Shkayach on the new beginning. Thank you.